delayed gratification. I'd like you to just understand a very simple concept about delayed gratification and its impact, its involvement, its content within this whole recovery program of sex, porn, love, addiction. There's something about with porn, sex, love, addiction, a reduced ability to delay gratification. What do I mean by that? In most areas of your life, you're probably quite disciplined in that you see something, you desire to have it, but you recognize you perhaps can't afford to buy it for this particular month, and therefore you delay buying that object. But when it comes to sex addiction, I see, I desire, I want, so I take. I see, I desire, I want, so I take. Something about inability to delay gratifying the need. And so we need to recognize that there is a need to bring back discipline in this area of your life. An experiment was done a lot of years ago, back in the 70s, to demonstrate this thing about delayed gratification. Some children were given some marshmallows, and the instructions that they were given was that they could sit in front of the table, recognize that they need to love marshmallows, really enjoy marshmallows, and they were given, let's say, two marshmallows in a bowl. They sit around the table looking at these two marshmallows for about an hour, and they had a choice. They could eat the two marshmallows straight away, but if they chose not to eat the marshmallows straight away and wait for about an hour, they would be given four marshmallows. I find that a bit mean, actually. I wish it was a lot more marshmallows. If I'm going to delay gratification just to get a double amount of four, is it worth it? Well, the point is, some of the children would look and rationalize, love marshmallows, there's only two. Yeah, but I'd rather eat those now and enjoy it right now rather than wait an hour. There are some that would look, consider, maybe partway through the hour they would finally eat the two. And then at the other end of the spectrum would be those that waited for the full hour and got four. Can you see the point I'm making with this experiment? There's something about when someone has sex addiction behaviors, they have lost or reduced their capacity to delay gratifying and satisfying the urge, the behavior. Yet, in other areas of their life, they are actually quite disciplined. So this area of sex, porn, love addiction needs to be brought back into sync, into the disciplined other areas of life. That's really all I want to say about that. I just want you to just recognize this concept of inability to delay gratification. That's really what we're talking about, inability to delay gratification. We're going to move on to the next item in the program. And what we're talking about here is, are there any secrets that the partner, and in most cases, the female partner, does not know about? Are there secrets, things that you have kept from her about the behaviors, the sex addiction behaviors, knowing perhaps that if you were to share that piece of information, it might break the back of the relationship? Now, as we look at this concept of secrets, I need you to understand, I do not have an agenda with my clients that they should disclose the secret. What I want is for us to have an informed discussion, a discussion so that you, the client, are making decisions, not from a knee-jerk reaction or an assumption about how a partner will react, but you're doing it from a place of looking at all the evidence, all the knowledge, all the information, and weighing it all up so as to come to your final decision. Do I or do I not disclose the information to her. Of course, for many clients, there is no secret. They've told, they've disclosed as much as they can, because the detail, of course, is what will break the back, often, of the relationship. Let me explain that a bit better. It's not for us to make decisions about what a female partner should have to help her in her recovery. I often say, particularly where I'm a male, there's a male client in front of me, that us males making decisions feels a little inappropriate, that we should be making decisions about what the female partner should have. But the point is, you've got to make some judgments at this stage. Importantly, the detail is what breaks the backs of relationships. If, for example, you have given information that you have been to see prostitutes, telling her where, what the experience was like, may not be helpful. But I recognize she may want the detail. And here is the dilemma. I would love to have a conversation with a female partner, or with the male partner, dependent upon who, of course, is the partner in the relationship. And I would like to explain and take them through this whole area of secrets. But if I don't get that opportunity, I don't get that chance, you are going to have to make some judgments. You are going to have to make some decisions. But you are rebuilding the relationship on the foundations of trust. And you'll be doing so, potentially carrying secrets into the new relationship. That will not be a good start. And of course, I do have the client who took secrets into the rebuilt relationship. In fact, I have a client who didn't even tell me the secrets. And when it became known, when it was found out, it broke the back of the relationship. To have the relationship traumatized too quickly after the first trauma of the disclosure, of the revelations, of the finding out, many relationships just won't survive and can't survive. It's just too difficult to get over. And so often, in fact, there's a drip feed of information to the partner, mostly the female partner, in order to cushion the big one that is to be disclosed. In the recovery plan, the couple recovery plan, that would be one of the first documents I took you through in the program. I probably will have explained that there is a counterpart to that couple recovery plan. There's one for the partner with the addiction, and there's one for the partner without the addiction, typically the female partner.